Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns as BBM Bumbadrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All you deadly women out there, stand up, be counted. We're talking about art activism by Great Women Conference that's coming up on Sunday, 28 March, at Canberra at ANU. And we're going to talk to one of the movers and shakers in that space. That's Aretha Brown on the line. My sister, very good morning, Aretha. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, my sister, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Sure. So I was born in Melbourne and I work in Melbourne, but my mob's Gabangri Follies from northern New South Wales, up near Coffs Harbour there.
All right, fantastic. Now, you're accomplished painter, decoloniser, dreamboat, and there to discuss the powerful ideas on Indigenous rights portrayed in your work at this Art Activism by Great Women Conference happening at Canberra at ANU, 28 March. So tell us about, first of all, who's Aretha Brown? Who are you, my sister?
I do painting, big murals all around, at Melbourne at the moment. I just finished one in, Smith Street, Collingwood, literally just yesterday. So, yeah, I do big murals, and my work's really centred about showcasing young Indigenous urban identity, which is really important to me. So, yes.
So, painter, decoloniser, dreamboat. So, you use your art as a way of expressing and telling the story and fighting for your mob and also women's rights, yes?
Yeah, 100%. I just turned 20, so I only got out of high school 2 years ago, and I think, my experience in high school, like a lot of young mob, was really difficult. And I think a lot of the problems that came about was because of the lack of Indigenous history I was taught in high school, and how, people became ignorant because they just didn't get that kind of education. And so, my art is me explaining those same kind of ideas, and just in a different way, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, fantastic. And Art Activism by Great Women Conference. Who else is on board with you in regard to this movement, sister?
So a few of the artists. There's actually, I know this is bad, but I think there's over, 60 all-female artists who are involved in this big exhibition taking over public spaces at ANU.
Yep.
I wish I could name off everyone.
But 60. No, that's a lot. I didn't expect that many. So there you go. Yeah. Women power. Girls can do anything.
Yeah. So there's, artists and public exhibitions, and it's this whole kind of almost, mini festival. And I suppose it's just very, interesting that, all the stuff that's going on in Parliament House at the moment.
Exactly.
Women taking over and really, talking about what it's like in Parliament. It's all kind of, the stars have aligned a little bit, and this conference is on the exact same week in Canberra, in the same spot. So it's a bit of an honour to get up and stand up there and,
good. Well, when you look at the movement of the Me Too movement happening a couple of years ago and still strong today, and now we're having the dramas that are happening in Parliament at our capital city, the head office of our government, and how women are being treated, it's got to stop, and violence against women has got to stop. And so this is another arm, you could say, another vehicle that you beautiful ladies are using in regarding putting that message out there.
Yeah, just all the stuff that's going on in Parliament, so shame job. And
I
flag that, a couple of years ago I was elected the first female Prime Minister of the National Indigenous.
Yes, congratulations, yes.
And so I think what I always talk about is that, in our community, in our Indigenous communities, women are up there. It's a matriarchal, community, and women, we have just as much right to be in politics, talk all that business. It's not just
of course.
Men's business, all that stuff. And, I think, even white Australians have a lot to learn from how we do it.
Exactly.
So,
So, yeah, it's an honour to speak there. And I think I'm the youngest person speaking at this event. So
yeah, good. You know, represent.
I always like to think about the, you know, my uncle, you know, Gary Foley. He's Gumbangri mob. Just
okay,
like
yes.
I always think back to, you know, him sitting at the Ten Embassy all those years ago, fighting,
exactly.
You know,
good,
fighting to get the vote, fighting for legal service, medical service, and he's a big influence on me.
Yeah, beautiful.
You know, I love all his work, and he's...
And you picked up the baton and you're running with it using your art and your voice, my sister.
I guess so, but I always like to think, you know, my elders as well, they're very important that they come up with me. I can't do any of this stuff without acknowledging my elders that came before me that had to put up with so much more than I do. Not to say that young people today haven't got their own set of unique problems.
But you're talking culture there. You're talking about the roots run deep, and that's powerful. Yeah. And our young ones need to hear that sort of talk, my sister.
Yeah, so I'm thinking when I go to Canberra and I'm speaking on Sunday, I'll be thinking of Gary Foley all those years ago sitting on the
beautiful
at the Ten Embassy saying, you know what, we want to vote. You know, simple as that. And that's democracy for you. So it's an honour to speak on Sunday, and I will definitely go and say hello to the mob at Ten Embassy who are always there anyway. But yeah.
No, that's fantastic. So what's your family think of your choice of pathway to your life and your future and working for our mob? What's your family think?
I'd like to think very proud, you know, we're a proud community, our one. And, you know, I always like to think about my grandma, you know, she was stolen gen, like a lot of our family members were, and she didn't get to go to school, she didn't get to learn, she didn't get to... You know, she didn't learn to read or write till she was a bit older, when my mum and my auntie taught her how to do it. And she always says, Aretha, when you get opportunities like this, you run for it, because I didn't get those opportunities.
Yes.
And so it's really important for me that I bring it back home. And I only talk about my experiences in high school. You know, that's the most important thing. I go in and I say, you know what? We need to learn Aboriginal history. Because at the moment, I reckon most non-Indigenous Australians are probably know about Indigenous history at a first grade level.
Yes.
You know, it's so basic. And we can't have talks about treaty, and we can't have talks about, you know, all this stuff unless people know the really basic fundamental learning aspects of our culture. And I didn't get anything in high school, you know?
Yeah, sure, exactly. There's more to life than Captain Cook, isn't there?
Oh, definitely. You know, I only finished high school 2 years ago.
Yes.
And even then, one of my classes, I walked in, first class, you know, there was one page about Indigenous history at the start, and then the next 400 pages were all white history.
There you go.
Years ago. Nothing's changed, and that's in Victoria as well, which is seen as being more lefty. So there's a lot to do there, but there's lots of deadly young mob that are making those changes. So I do want to shout out NIAC, you know, National Indigenous Youth Education Coalition.
Yes.
They're doing some amazing, amazing work.
Yeah, well, delivering the history and stories of our First Nation people, who the first people of this country, of course, very important.
100%. And I suppose the other big thing that I always like to talk about is, you know, even then, not just history, you know, in high school, we could, in food tech, you could learn about Aboriginal food and cuisine, you know, in science, you could learn about Aboriginal astronomy. In English, you could learn from some of our deadly Aboriginal writers that are out there and poets. In, you know, PE, you know, you could learn about Mungrook and AFL and that connection.
Exactly.
It's every single subject, not just history.
No, that's right, you know. Well, we are the professors of all industries, 60,000 years. We know what we're talking about, sister.
I think maybe we do. But yeah, you know, if we just learn history as well, we just keep it to a history class, then it reaffirms this idea that we once were, you know, that we no longer exist, that we're, you know, past tense, but not at all. We're in every single subject, every local perspective should be brought into every subject, math, science, media, you know, there's so much deadly Aboriginal media out there as well, like this radio.
Yeah, you're too deadly, man. Thanks for the plug, too deadly, represent. But it's so powerful, and congratulations, and good luck with the 28th March at Cambry at ANU there. I am, Art by Great Women, the festival, so fantastic. And looking forward to yarning with you later on down the track. Keep doing what you're doing, my sister, and we'll yarn soon,
See you later. Thanks for all your mob. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Aretha. Thank you. Diddly Yan there, Aretha Brown, and look, a strong painter, decoloniser, dreamboat, discussing the powerful ideas on Indigenous rights portrayed in her work, artwork. And Here I Am, Art by Great Women, and that's happening on 28 March at Cambry at ANU. So check that out, you might, from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. And you can get tickets there at the conference, and it'll run for that time. So fantastic. Have your say, Yan Upstrong. Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Beautiful track there, Saltwater Band. Yeah, 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 Rooney, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, your mob, 1-800-422-416. Yarnum with the bully one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM, Bumba Rip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. A deadly yarn there, that was a pre-record yarn there with Aretha Brown, accomplished painter, decoloniser and dreamboat, and had their gig, their get-together at the ANU, Australian National University, yesterday that was. So hope it went well, and it's about strong women. To all you deadly sisters out there, stand up, be strong, and us brothers need to step aside, respect what's happening in the world. Too deadly. Going to catch up with Yarn in with Tony Gibbs online. TG, good morning.
Good morning, TG.
How you going, brother?
Good, yeah, they had Sue and Happy on there last week. Sometimes we go out like the ocean and we come back in, yeah, I'm good, and everybody was laughing, and I like that Great Women show thing and decolonization.
Yes.
I'm happy.
Yeah, and, beautiful.
You know, we've got different cultures inside us, and I'd like to dispel a myth at the moment, and I had a laugh last week, you know, and I was Pommy last week, I was a Pommy.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's what we're called, you know, we're called Pommies. But I'd like to tell the whole of Australia and a myth. Do you know what POMI stands for?
No, educate us, please.
Prisoner of Mother England.
Is that right?
Yeah,
so POMI, that's the there's an acronym to it. So that's POMS mean Prisoner of Mother England.
POMI.
POMI. Okay. Now is that from Tony Gibbs' dictionary, or that is the statement as of back and then?
This is a true thing. See, when we used to become the world called POMIs, and then. And you get a lot of aggro people and you're a pommy bastard, you know?
Yeah, gotcha, yeah.
Right. And then we used to retaliate. And it used to get really heavy, mate, because we were different outsiders, and I said they're not racist, they'll pick at anybody. Mm. and so we used to say to them, well, you call us pommy, but then that talk went around Villawood Hostel, you know? We'd have crowds of people outside. The cricket players, if we went out, but we were on federal lands, you see. That's why I understand the protection of federal land and native title.
Yes.
I know the importance because we were protected from mobs. So we used to sing out, yeah, well, at least our ancestors didn't have shackle marks on their ankles.
Okay, and I'm just looking at I just Googled, had brother man Matty Motlop on Google, and yeah, it states here, POM, P-O-M-E, acronym, status, inmates sent to Australia, Prisoner of Mother England. There it is. I didn't know that. Thank you.
Well, thanks. Yeah, well, I'm sharing culture, you know.
You are.
You know, no matter I'm from Cook's relation, honestly, you know, he might have been a good sailor, but...
Talking from the heart, brother.
Yeah, right. And see, that's a joke. And we used to laugh and taunt each other. They used to run us down and go back where you come from and all this. And then we used to sing, well, we haven't got shackle marks on us. That was saying that...
Yeah, you weren't prisoners, that's right. Well, when the POMs are coming for football or cricket, the POMs are coming.
Yeah, well, that's another
with no shackles.
Well, we were saying this country now has evolved from those criminals that were shackled together. And they used to taunt us more, and we'd taunt back and say, this is where they made mates. You know, mate, I was mocking it the other day, and I apologise to good Australians, I know many. And
yes.
But we used to say, mates, you know how they made mates, mate? And they'd say, no, and they'd say, that's what happened when you got shackled together as convicts in the boat. You know, it's hard stuff, you know, but it, you know... It's a game of cricket, verbal cricket.
Verbal cricket, yes.
Anyway, moving on, I just wanted to explain to everybody what a POMI was.
Well, thank you very much. Well, you educated this, Murray. I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, I'm, you know, we're all teaching. And so,
we're students for life, aren't we, brother?
Yeah, we all learn something every day. And there's a bit more, but I forgot it. Because I want to move on to something else. A real POMI, it's not a POMI thing, an English thing, is Robin Hood. Have you seen the Cairns Post on Saturday?
No, I missed that.
You've got the mayor on there, and it says, City Sheriff rides alone. You know, the man, you've seen the papers I've put out on him, what he's done to this town. He's there, and they're all abandoned, and the council is dysfunctional, over cultural. And if he's the sheriff, well, I'm Robin Hood here, mate.
Mm.
Riding through the glen, you know. Feared by the bad, loved by the good. I've got culture. I live in a black fella world, and I live in a white fella world too.
Mm.
And I don't need a bit of paper to say I'm Australian. No, I'm an Australian resident.
Yes.
I'm still a British citizen.
Yes.
I'm not a POMI because we used to think we come here free people, not like you mob. And you see that mob in Canberra now. Now I'll get mocked. If I was Australian, doing human rights, I'd be the hero. But because I'm a POMI bastard, mate, and I get told every day.
And respecting the traditional owners of the land.
Yeah, well, you know, we do have a war here. And the other clipping in the paper, the Cairns, I won't say which paper, our local paper, trying to say, shut up and look at your own war crimes. Now they know. We're talking, and I'm not a POMI bastard. I'm your friend and mate, whatever. You know, you've been to my house once, and we're all just doing the best we can.
Yes.
So So that Pommy talk was good, brother. Yeah, just thought you'd like that. And,
yeah, thanks for sharing, brother. Thank you.
Yeah, you know.
My Pommy brother, thanks for sharing.
Yeah, and so the fight for the green patch goes on, and I called the paper today and I said, the story hasn't come out yet. We've been waiting over a week and I had to go up the road and buy that paper, and it cost over $2, you know, and pension it. And we're going to use it soon. So we were sweating on that story for Easter. We want this river open. We want a miracle. We want it resurrected. And if the council is dysfunctional, as all the papers said on Saturday, you should have a read, mate. They're blowing the bits.
Yes.
Who is going to open that gate? And all the people are saying to me, I'll get the grinder out, get the bulk out. I said, we want the council to open it. We're not violent. It's a peaceful protest. It's a bit of paper. And I felt like Tom Moore, that one in England went round and round. I go down the green patch every day, put posters up, they take them down, night time, I put them up. Over 5 months, I was putting up the clothes about opening the river before they shut the camping area.
So yeah, hard to keep a good man down, brother. You're fighting the fight, I'm telling you that.
Fighting the fight. And you have a look in Saturday's paper. This council has, we can't have the city take over the country and run our life and shut our river. It's simple. Yes. It's a river. Maniacs, read the paper, right? And good morning to everybody, because it's going to be a good week and Robin Hood is on the loose.
Take care, brother. That's Tony Gibbs there saying his bit here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying yarn up strong, your mob, 1-800-422-416. Now, thinking of your mob there in Brisbane, Greater Brisbane will go into a three-day lockdown after recording 10 new cases of coronavirus, four in the community. So Greater Brisbane will go into a three-day lockdown after recording 10 new cases. And the key points there is it'll happen from lockdown from 5 p.m. today. It comes after four new cases of coronavirus from community transmission. Two of those cases are linked to the recent cluster. So Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk said six of the cases were overseas, acquired, but four were local, two directly linked to the recent cluster. The other two cases have an unknown origin. Greater Brisbane will now go into a three-day lockdown as of 5 p.m. today. This includes the Ipswich, Logan, Redlands, Moreton, Brisbane Council areas. So there it is, your mob. Thinking of your mob, abide by the rules, do what we need to do. And look, we are still in the pandemic. Have your say, Jan Armstrong, 1-800-422-416.
G'day folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Of mine on murder, the judge's gavel fell. Jury found him guilty, gave him 16 years in hell. He said, I ain't spending my life here, I ain't living alone, ain't breaking the rocks on a chain gang, breaking out, heading home. I'm gonna make a change.
Yeah, right.
beats. They were racing. Freedom. He was chasing. Spirits. Dying. No use trying. Bet he made it out with a sheet around his neck.
A very good morning, you Deadly Mob. Welcome back to your Deadly Program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumper Brip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre call us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Now, reports have revealed 72,500 rural and remote Australians admitted to hospital each year due to medicine-related problems. We're going to catch up a yarn with senior consultant pharmacist, Megan Tremlett on the line. Megan, very good morning. How are you?
I'm really well, Trevor. Thanks for having me. It's great to be on for yarn.
Yeah, thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, Megan?
I'm based down in the Sunshine Coast, southeast Queensland, Trevor. So not quite underwater, but a bit close at the moment.
Got your floaties on, getting ready. Look, thoughts are going out to people in New South Wales, especially New South Wales country, but also a touch of it there in your area. Mother Nature is speaking to us.
She certainly is, yeah, absolutely. And I was down on the Gold Coast on the weekend for a conference, Trevor, and just about had to swim back.
So yeah, that's right, yes.
It was touch and go there on the road.
If it's not a pandemic, it's rats, fire, floods. And we all come together when the chips are down, don't we?
We absolutely do. And, yeah, I think we hopefully we're through this, we deserve a breather, I think, for a while.
Exactly. And speaking of chips now, we're talking about the reports that reveal 72,500 rural and remote Australians admitted to hospital each year due to medicine-related problems. So as a pharmacist, Megan, put us in the picture. What's happening there? Are people in remote and rural areas are not adhering to the administration of their medicine, or is it lack of communication, or the being out there in the sticks, so to speak, and I haven't got the best professional service? Can you bring us in a picture there, please?
Absolutely, yes, Trevor. And I think, you know, the report really has highlighted the extent of the medicines-related challenges in rural and remote places. You know, to have that 72,500 rural and remote people admitted to hospital just for medicines-related problems each year is absolutely not good enough. And what we do know is that about 50% of that harm is preventable. Mm. And I think that the reasons for those admissions to hospital in rural and remote places, Trevor, it's not just one problem. I think it's a whole combination of problems. So partly it's the tyranny of distance, being able to actually get to health services. And, workforce shortages are very real in rural and remote places. We simply don't have enough doctors, pharmacists, nurses, health workers and the like. So that's definitely something that needs to be addressed. And on top of that is layered, challenges around accessing medicines and then taking those medicines in the best way. So
sure.
We could probably talk about each one of those things for another half an hour, Trevor. But,
exactly.
The level of problem certainly needs to be addressed, and from the Pharmaceutical Society of Australia, we have some recommendations to put forward to help address some of those issues.
Well, I look at the fact that we in the cities who've got access to professional help and what have you, but we as individuals, we as human beings, sometimes we feel that, it's too much of a drama taking medicine. So that causes problems as well. So individuals need to be take onuses as well, yes?
Absolutely, and I think we all need to remember that our health is in our own hands, and regardless of where we live in Australia, you know, every Australian is worthy of the best healthcare that the country can provide.
Yes.
And I think, you know, healthcare from an individual perspective is, you know, a few really logical things like eating well and exercising and getting enough sleep and, you know, cutting back on smokes and alcohol, but also taking advantage of the health checks that are available through the health service and bulk billing clinics like the 715 health checks. You know, those are absolutely available to help identify, you know, illnesses and chronic diseases, sometimes even before they happen, or at least managing them well where they're known to exist. And it's also an opportunity to talk about the health of family members as well, which is really important. So what we do know is that only, you know, only about 30% of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Australians are accessing those health checks annually at the moment. So that can definitely be something to ask a question of next time you're, you know, with the healthcare team.
And also talking about our mob, remote and what have you, I believe cultural awareness could be a problem as well regarding the communication of medicine or health to the individual, to our mob, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, absolutely right. And, you know, the main go-to place for primary health care is Aboriginal health services. And
yes.
I think that's where we really need to look to have our health care workers, you know, working there in a place that feels, you know, culturally safe and comfortable.
Yes.
You know, one of the recommendations from the Rural and Remote Care Report is to have pharmacists embedded in as many Aboriginal health services as possible so that we're bringing the care to the right, you know, to the place where people feel comfortable. Of course, a lot of community pharmacies are absolutely well equipped to be able to provide medicine support, but by having pharmacists embedded in the health services, they're there to work with the existing team, provide, you know, direct care to people who attend from community, and also look at, you know, where necessary, you know, upskilling health workers and health practitioners and other staff around things to do with medicine programs, policies that benefit communities. So
yes.
I think you're absolutely right. We need to make sure that the care is delivered in the right way, in the right place.
Well, we as First Nation people, we strongly believe that the best medicine for our mob is black on black. So to employ more black people in this industry, that would be a great investment, but also a cheaper way when you look at the costing of the healthcare system to people out in rural and remote who are not taking medicines, yes?
Yeah, that makes absolute sense, Trevor. You're absolutely right, and I completely agree with, you know, empowering people who are already working in Aboriginal health services to in turn deliver the best care they can to their community. So, you know, the challenge is upskilling a workforce so that they're ready to do that and capable of doing that. You're absolutely right.
And that would be cheaper than the cost that we're paying at the moment regarding the healthcare system of people not taking medicines or not being communicated regarding their health.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And what we do know about these, you know, medicines-related hospital admissions, Trevor, is that they cost the healthcare system about $400 million.
There you
annually.
Go. That's a lot of money.
That's just the rural and remote living people. So, and, you know, if 50% of this harm is preventable, if we actually get to the, you know, medicine safety issues, you know, largely overcome. So there's, you know, a lot of cost saving to the health.
Yeah,
system.
And we're talking employment, which gives a healthy family. A man, for example, working in this industry is good for his role as a leader of the family, but also empowers the partner as well, you know, and it takes a team to raise a family.
Absolutely, yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, as, you know, us pharmacists, as healthcare professionals, you know, we need to be constantly, you know, doing a bit better, I think, to work in with, you know, the way things are best done for community. So I think, you know, that's can be things like scholarships to have, you know, people from community working in the local pharmacy as well.
Yes.
So I think there's a little bit of scope there, as you're saying, Trevor, to empower people in community to come into other aspects of healthcare, and that could work really well. So,
well, a holistic approach. It then also cuts down racism and team effort, and all in the same boat, heading the same direction, and making Australia one.
Yep, completely agree. Completely agree. And I think, you know, pharmacists and medicines experts, we've got a lot to bring to, you know, provided it's done, you know, in the right setting and in the right context. So, yeah, but I think you were talking a bit, Trevor, about, you know, people perhaps not taking medicines as often or as regularly as they should. So, you know, pharmacists can help to help people understand what the medicines do, when best to take them, with or without some food, you know, what to expect from the medicines. Do they work straight away? Does it take some time? what sort of side effects might you look out for, and what do you do about that. Can be also things like how to store medicine safely and how to get rid of them when they're not needed anymore. So, you know, there's a lot of information there that could hopefully help if it's delivered in the right way in the right place.
Well, Megan, you and I are doing our bit by talking on national radio here. So thank you so very much, and all the best to your family, your team, and keep doing what you're doing. Stay dry and stay safe.
That's awesome. Thank you very much for having me, Trevor. It's been a pleasure.
Take care, Megan. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye now.
Adelie Yarn there, Megan Tremblett, her name is, senior consultant pharmacist, and talking about the reports that reveal 72,500 people, rural and remote Australians, admitted to hospital each year due to medicine-related problems. And that's all factors, people just not taking their medicine, or they haven't got the professional help needed in rural and remote areas, or the problem of the being uneducated in regard to the medicine and where it should be taken and why it should be taken and all that. And also for our mob, black on black, not enough black consultants working in this industry as a pharmacist. So look, a lot of factors there. The government needs to take that on board, because we're talking about the costing of the healthcare system, about $400 million. I think if you have that $200 million by putting in employment of First Nation people, educate them, becoming pharmacists, all the above, and that can close that gap as well. So work smarter, not harder, is what I always say. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, here on National Talk Black. That daily number, 1-800-422-416. Yeah, Solid Eagle, Frank Yammer here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Fly high, your mob, give us a call, 1-800-422-416, National Talk Black, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM, Bumble Group Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Dish Radio Service. And we've got someone online. Good morning, someone.
Good morning, brother. Some comments here I'd like to make. We're going into the new norm, and I never have my injection yet. Never have my vaccination.
Are you going to take that vaccination?
No. Me and Pauline Hanson are the gay brother. And some of the One Nation mob, they're not going to take it. But anyway, I'm the diversity on television, brother. It's good to see, hey, black folks on television. Mm. The only thing wrong, brother, is they got Snoop Dogg and Shaquille.
Mm-hmm.
And they got that mob talking about Super. Brother, you know, 1986, I was going through 10 years of my sobriety, like on women, and 10 years of my sobriety. And one of the things when I first wanted to wear, you know, a lot of the blokes at that time used to say, they needed that courage to ask a girl for a dance. And the moral of it was, after a band dance, they wouldn't have alcoholics. But anyway, I was 100, brother. Sheila come and asked me for a dance, and it sort of blew me away. So I was 100 this time, but I had a choice of three songs to have that dance.
Yeah.
Walk Like an Egyptian, Rock Lobster, but I ended up going, girls just want to have fun. And it shows that women roles have changed, brother.
Yes.
Might notice. And you know, when I got sober too, brother, they said, yeah, we stopped. We've got to learn to treat them as a human being. Don't see them as a piece of meat or that.
True.
And anyway, this Sheila, she said to me, she said, hey, hello, I'm a woman too. You know, I said, I'm sorry. I treated you like a human being, but she was chucking me in because she wanted me to treat her like a woman. You know, brother, you didn't have to read between the lines there, brother.
Treat her like a lady.
Yeah, I was 100, brother, you know,
that's yes.
What I'm saying, and big ego deflation to me, and another, a bloke in sobriety, a mate, he had to see his counsellor to get counselling when his wife, he was sleeping out on the couch, and his missus come out and said, well, the couch must be getting hard on you, you know, and that's some of the things, as, you know, as we go to this new of women being more assertive.
Yes.
And when I worked in the city council, brother, one of the women, they wrote me a note, and they said, the note said, you look nice. And they didn't want to say it because it would have sounded sexist. And I said, gee, that's a new one. I didn't know that. It sounds sexist if you said I look nice, but that's how it is. And all this new, you know, we're going into that with women. And anyway, brother, and I heard you say that about all this flooding and all this.
Humanity. Yep.
But all the flooding?
Flooding, yes.
And all the humanity towards each other. And I think of it this way, brother. You know, like half a milliseconds before, like on New Year's Eve, half a milliseconds to midnight. That's wonderful history. And from the New Year day till the end of the year, that's how we treat it. That's how I see it. And all the catastrophic stuff we went through, like the Craig is here for meteors, hey, brother, here. There's a dinosaur story. There's the story about oral history about volcano up entertainment. There's oral history about fire stick farming out in a barrier reef.
Mm.
And I think of it like a man, they try to manipulate peace. But peace will come, and it'll come from a change of heart. And when you see all this catastrophic stuff that happened around Cyclone Tracy and the flood down in Townsville, people do come together, and peace is going to come from a change of heart, brother, because I think man's heart are out of stone. Mm. And when the gospel came here to this country, we always knew there was a power greater than stuff, like all of the catastrophic stuff that happened to us. We've been through all that, and you know, like that, like our body is so many percent water, and there's something way out there called the moon can influence the change, the tide of the sea, and change the weather down here. Surely something, we must have a change, you know, within ourselves. So we always had that stuff before the gospel came in. We always had a power that we call it in our different language, what the power is, brother. We always knew that, but I think peace going to come from a change of heart, brother. Thank you very much, brother.
No, thank you. Powerful words. That's someone there having his say, and Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Black. You too can do the same by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, to Delhi Mob, give you the news with the NRL over the fixture for round three on Thursday last week there. The Panthers got up over the Storms with a grand final replay, 12-10. Panthers got up. The Dragons defeated the Sea Eagles, 38 points to 12. And it's with captain there, and Mr. Hunt, and he's out with an injury, Ben Hunt, a broken leg. So there you go. He played right through to the last 15 odd minutes and didn't realise, he thought it was just a cork, but apparently it's a broken leg and maybe out for about 4 or 5 weeks. The Rabbitohs gave the Roosters a bit of a touch-up, 26 points to 16. And the two halves, Lamb and Kerry there, injury as well, and they'd be out for about 4 or 5 weeks. So a lot of injuries going on at the moment. Raiders got defeated by Warriors, 34-31, in a controversial game. And Ricky Stewart may be in trouble regarding his comments with the media there about the referees. Broncos had a win, defeated Bulldogs 24 points to nil. So congratulations, Kevin Walters there. And that's an uphill battle that the Broncos have got, but they had a win. Fantastic. The Eels defeated Sharks, 28 points to 4. The West Tigers defeated Knights, 24 points to 20. That was with the 300 game for Mitchell Pearce, and unfortunately had a loss on his 300 game. The Titans annihilated the Cowboys, 44 points to 8. And sad news maybe around the corner for Michael Morgan. He may be out, his career over in regard to knee, but there's still checking on that and seeing the outcome of that. Round 4, heads up, the Sea Eagles up against the Panthers on Thursday night. Friday Night Football, Bulldogs play the Rabbitohs, Storm play the Broncos, and then on Saturday, footy Saturday, is Sharks up against the Cowboys, Titans up against the Raiders, Knights up against the Dragons, and then on the Sunday, Roosters up against the Warriors, West Tigers up against the Eels. So there it is with the NRL. And regarding the AFL, the fixtures on the weekend, starting on Thursday last week, Collingwood defeated Carlton at 106 points to 85. And the Cats got up, Geelong Cats got up over Brisbane, 81 points to 80, 1 point in it. The Swans defeated Adelaide Crows, 121 to 88. The Bombers went down to Port Adelaide, 119 to 65. And the Melbourne Demon defeated St Kilda, 91 points to 73. Also, we have Suns here. They defeated the Kangaroos, North Melbourne, 98 points to 39. The Hawks got annihilated by Richmond Tigers, 78 points to 49. And beautiful comeback there for the Bulldogs, defeated the West Coast Eagles, 100 points to 93. And also the full-time score with Fremantle defeated Giants GWS, 87 points to 56. So there it is. You might have your say, Yarn Strong, but 5 minutes left on the program. So it's come to the time where Murray got to sign off. But I thank you very much for your company, your mob. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe in regard to the pandemic. Do what you need to do, stay safe. And abide by the rules, your mob. Too deadly. Thanks for your company. Hey, you might squeeze back a call here. Got Samantha from WA. Samantha, very good morning. How are you? You just called me, my dear. You just called me. How are you going, Dale?
Pretty good today. Thank you very much.
Good, good. How's John?
John's very well. He's doing the housework.
He's doing the housework.
Yeah, he's all cleaning and washing and, he's big.
See, girls can do anything. Women got power. John, keep vacuuming. He's laughing in the background.
Oh, I love your program. It's wonderful. It keeps me going.
Good.
It really keeps me going.
A lot of topics, hey? A lot of yarns.
Oh, they're beautiful. They're beautiful. I love it.
Good. Thank you. You travelling safe there?
Pardon?
You're travelling okay?
Oh, yes. Yes, pretty good. Yes.
Yeah. You're able, aren't you, Samantha?
Pardon?
You're able? You're up and about, eh?
Oh, yes. Yes. I'm not allowed to go out and about, unfortunately, because I'm restricted. John takes me for a drive and we go in. Oh, I love the bush.
Beautiful Mother Nature.
No, nature is, it's the best medicine, isn't it?
It is. And we don't do enough of it, especially us mob in cities.
No, unfortunately, no. We're very lucky where we are.
Yes.
Because we're very close to it. All we've got to do is go a couple of miles down the road. And we've got this beautiful bushland. It's wonderful. And we still see the kangaroos. Oh,
beautiful. Beautiful. So how often do you get out, Samantha?
Oh, it's wonderful. But I want you to thank you for... You make my day. You really do.
Thank you, darling. All the best. You take care and we'll yarn soon. And a big hello to John there.
Thank you very much. You take care too and your family.
Okay, dear. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Beautiful yarn. Samantha WA, regular caller and a loyal listener to our daily program, National Talk Black. Murray, going to sign for your mob. Too deadly. Thank you very much.